All right, good morning. Today's podcast is going to be a conversation about authority. Whose authority? Who is in authority? Because I still hear ministers say that Satan is the god of this world. Now, I'm not saying he's not running some things. He is running some things. He is out there and he is deceiving people and he's running some things. But he became the god of this world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and obeyed Satan. They committed high treason right there. They disobeyed a direct order from their leader and submitted to another leader. And because they were the authority on this earth, because they were gods of this planet. He was God. He was sitting in heaven. He put Adam and Eve here, and he told them, you're just like gods. We created you in our image after our likeness, and you have dominion. Replenish, supplant. You are it. Okay? So when they submitted to the enemy, he took it from them. Because they had disobeyed God and they were in sin, there was a separation between them and God. Okay? Does that make sense? So, yes, immediately Satan became the god of this world. And he was the god of this world. And he ran everything and it was horrible. And God had to search high and low to find somebody that would listen to him and somebody that would speak for him and somebody that would, you know, God had prophets and priests and all those things in the earth, and he would talk through them and talk to them, and he always had his chosen group of people that he used to do all these wonderful things in the Old Testament. And until he brought forth Jesus, that was the goal, to get a savior into the world to save mankind. He did that. He got Jesus in here. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He did everything God wanted him to do. He obeyed to the last detail, God. And then the enemy killed him. Now that's when the enemy messed up. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But Jesus did not sin. Okay? Now let me explain this to you. You did sin. You were born a sinner because you were born after the similitude of Adam's transgressions. And let me explain why. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, okay, so here they are, they're in the garden. Well, they're not in the garden anymore. They've been kicked out. And when they were in the garden, those were the only two people that God made, correct? Okay, so the seeds of Cain and Abel and all the rest of the children that they were going to have, right, were in them, right? So when they sinned, everything in them was separated from God. So they were sinners because they were born from sin, because they were born to parents who were sin. They were in sin. Does that make sense? Okay? If, you know, whatever you do, your future generations do it too, because they're in you. Does that make sense? That's why all the blessings that you obtain go to your children and to your children's children. Everything that's wrong in your family, you know, in my family, for example, I'm just going to use this as an example. This is not to condemn anybody. I'm not even talking about what somebody else is doing, but I was an alcoholic, okay? And because I was, my children were going to be. I came from alcoholics on both sides of my family, and my husband's family were all alcoholics. So my children were predisposed to all be alcoholics, okay? That my life was a train wreck and I was struggling with so many different things. I was depressed. I was broke. My marriage was in shambles. Everything that was wrong in my life, God said to me one day in prayer, he said, close the door. And I said, what door? And he said, alcohol. I said, if I close the alcohol door, that will solve all my problems? And he said, yes. I shut that door and I did not open it again ever. Even though the enemy comes often to tempt me to do that, I do not do that. I'm not opening that door. Because I have shut that door, my children have been delivered from alcoholism. Okay, now that's just one of the many things that my family had that was not good. Your family could be liars. Maybe your family is perverted sexually. Maybe your family is abusive. Maybe your family is just, it could be anything, right? Drug addicts. It could be thieves. It could be anything, okay? Whatever your family is, you have the ability to stop it right here with you. And then when your children are born, they're not born after that. If you get the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost and you get delivered from something, then your seed will be delivered from it also. Just letting you know that. So Adam and Eve's children were born into sin because Adam and Eve were in sin. And every generation after that, we all were in sin because Adam was in sin. Okay? Does that make sense? The reason that Jesus was not born a sinner was because Adam was not Jesus' father. If your father is a sinner, he's passing that on to you. But who was the father of Jesus? What happened? You remember the story? The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and a virgin became impregnated. So he was born after God, not after Adam. Does that make sense? The devil did not see that coming. He did not imagine that there was another way for somebody to get pregnant. I don't know if you remember in the book of Genesis, all the different people that were trying to have babies. You know, Isaac, you're going to be the father of many nations. Well, he's talking to a barren couple. You know, Isaac, through Isaac the seed will be. Well, then what happened? Isaac's wife couldn't get pregnant either. And then, okay, it's going to go through his seed. So Jacob's wife couldn't get pregnant either. And it just kept happening. The enemy kept attacking their seed. He kept attacking their bodies. He kept attacking, trying to stop. Because he thought that they were going to be the one that was coming, that was going to do something about something. And that whole line of people, there was a lot of that going on. But he never saw, God's going to impregnate somebody another way. So here Jesus is, and he's not born from the same father that we're all born from. Okay? So now when he gets killed, Satan had the right to kill every single person because you were a sinner. And the wages of sin was death. Death had access to you because you sinned. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so now when you are looking at Jesus had no sin and the enemy killed him. And they buried him. And there he was. And the trial started. On what grounds did you kill him? Well, what do you mean? What sin did he commit? Well, he was a sinner. No, he wasn't. He had no sin. And so the devil was defeated. He had to give the authority back to the people. The first Adam lost it. The second Adam returned it back to us. That was Jesus. So here Jesus gets the authority back. He takes the keys of hell and death. Jesus took those, the Bible says, and he led captivity captive. He took all the people that the enemy had in that were going to hell, because they were sinners and they died in their sin. There had not been redemption for them yet. He took them and led them out. And he became the authority. And he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, this is all legal stuff. Everything in the kingdom of God is legal down to the last detail. Whenever God tells you something, it is a fact. It is nailed down, solid, pat. You're not going to get around it. The word of God is truth. Okay? Now, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? He gave it to us, didn't he? Behold, I give you power. Amen? All power in heaven and earth is given unto me, and who I give it to, I can give it to, and I'm giving it to you. And he cleansed us from the unrighteousness, because now we're born again. So we're no longer born after the similitude of Adam's transgressions. Now we're born after the similitude of Jesus. And he restored us back into the place where you are God. The Bible tells you, did he not say that you are God's? Jesus asked him, didn't God say that you are God's? Over in Psalms, didn't he say that? So who is the God of this world now? It's us. It is the church. It is every born-again believer, full of the Holy Ghost. You are the authority on this earth. Things should go your way. Not just for yourself, but you're not some rogue agent out there. You're a member of the body of Christ. How many of you realize that if every cell in my body had a common goal to take good care of Dolly, the Dolly would be in good shape, right? If every cell in the body of Christ decided, oh, we're going to take care of the body of Christ, right? We're going to nourish each other. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to bless each other. If there's waste that needs to be taken away, we're going to help them take it away. We're going to do what needs to happen so that the body of Christ is healthy and functioning well. Now, some people don't know what I'm talking about right now. They feel like they're a victim of Satan. Even people that are born again, full of the Holy Ghost, believe that Satan has some power to come into their life and possess them and make them do things and harm them in ways that is ridiculous. God's not sharing the temple that he's in with any devil. And you're full of God. You are the authority. That's why whenever I'm telling you, if something crazy is happening around you, now listen, let me explain something to you. There is a difference between the spiritual realm and the natural realm. And let me clarify this for you, because we get ideas because, oh, people coin little phrases throughout religion and history. Well, you can be so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good. Well, that's from the devil. If you're very spiritually minded, you're going to be very earthly good. You know? Oh, well, all that's for when we get to heaven and we're in the spiritual kingdom. You're not going to need any of this in heaven. Do you think you're going to need money in heaven when the streets are made out of gold and the gates are made out of pearl? And the foundation of the buildings are made out of every precious stone? Do you really believe that you're going to need a healing when your physical body is gone and you're in the presence of God? Seriously, it is for today. It is for right now. You are the authority. You're the spiritual authority. What's happening in the natural realm is a manifestation of what's going on in the unseen realm. Okay? Let me explain. And God uses, I'm just reminding you, God uses all these types and shadows from the Old Testament to teach you truths that are happening in the spirit realm. Okay? There can be a big bully that's threatening everybody, just like Goliath was, threatening everybody. And you're hearing it in the spirit realm. In your mind, you're knowing, who do you think you are? You ain't going to do nothing about it. You can hear things like that in your mind, right? The Bible says he shoots fiery darts of the wicked. He will give you thoughts that are not from God. And so there you sit, and the enemy can be screaming at you and threatening you. And what are you going to do? 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 They don't like you. They're making fun of you. They think this and they think that. And he can be screaming lies at you. Right? That happens to everybody. That's in the spirit realm. All you have to have is somebody that's going to say, like David, a stone. Just a few revelations. He killed him with the first one. Satan, I am loved. I am chosen. I am forgiven. I am righteous. I am holy and unblameable. You are full of the Word of God. And you need to say the word of God when you're under an attack, when the enemy is raging like Goliath did every day. He was out there raging, telling him, who's your God that's going to deliver you? Who's going to help you out in this situation? He will talk to you like that. He will. I know you've heard him before. You are the authority in that realm. Now, if you bow down and get all, nobody likes me, then he's winning. Then you're just like David's brothers who were sitting in the ditch, children of God, every one of them, loved by God, every one of them. But they did not know the authority that they had. They did not know that the enemy could not talk to them like that. David didn't say, oh man, he ain't that big, I can take him. He wasn't looking at him physically. David looked at Goliath and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He's not in the covenant with God. The circumcision was something they did to show that they were in this covenant with God. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is defying the armies of the living God? David didn't say, oh, I'm quick, I'm pretty powerful, I can do this. He went to the truth. Whoa, time out. Nobody gets to talk to God's kids like this. And the devil threatened him. You better shut up, little boy. He was talking a bunch of smack to him. And then all the other scared Christians, not Christians back then, they represented the church. All the other scared children of God were sitting there saying, shut up, David. Quit trying to be all big shot. You can't do nothing about this. Go back home and feed your little sheep. And they were all trying to, because of their fear, they were already subjected to the enemy in the unseen realm. And because of their fear, they were already servants of Satan. So now they're having to bring down anybody that tries to rise up. And David said, no, for real. We're in a covenant with God. And the enemy threatened him and said, today I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. And David said, today? You come at me with all this stuff. I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord. You got your spear, you got your shield, you got all your stuff. I am coming at you in the name of the Lord. Are we not instructed to say, in the name of Jesus? I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord. And not only am I going to cut your head off and kill you today, I'm taking out the entire Philistine army today. The fowl of the air are going to eat on the carcasses of every single member of your army. Because I don't know who you think you're talking to, but you're wrong. And that's the authority that you have today. When the enemy's telling you, oh, this nation's going in the toilet. You know, oh, all these people are crazy. Oh, it's all these people over here. And it's all division. Oh, you gotta hate this color group of people. You gotta hate this ethnicity. Oh, you gotta hate this demographic. You gotta hate this political party. Well, you gotta hate this wealth tier. Oh, you gotta hate the people from foreign lands. Oh, well, you gotta hate. And it's all about strife and division and confusion. Because you know what? If you don't value any of those other people, if you don't know how important they are to God and to the move of God on the earth, then you don't even realize how important you are. These people are valuable to God. But nobody on this earth has more authority than the body of Christ. And this is our nation. And this is our planet. And this is our church. And this is our families. And this is our everything. And the enemy is not God of this world anymore. And the only reason he can do what he's doing right now is because the people don't know. Do you realize? I heard this story one time. A bunch of slaves had gotten freed, and they had gotten their own little piece of property, and they were raising their cotton or whatever it was they were raising, and they would harvest all their stuff, and they would take it to the place to sell it, and the people that were selling, that were buying it, knew how to read the scales, knew how much money each pound brought, and they would do the math, and then they would rip off these ex-slaves because they did not know how much money they were supposed to get. So, for example, I'm supposed to pay you 4 cents a pound, okay? And you bring me 100 pounds. I'm supposed to give you $400. Or $4, whatever it is, okay? It's too early for math, okay, right? But instead, they would say, oh, he don't know. He can't read the scale. He doesn't know how much money I'm supposed to do. Even if he does, he doesn't know how to multiply. So they would give him $2. Well, one day, the slave family had a little girl. I don't remember her name. It's a famous story. They sent her to school. She was free. She could go to school. That little girl went to school and learned how to count, learned what the numbers were, learned how to add, learned how to multiply. And one day, accidentally, she went with her dad or somebody up there when he was selling his product. And she was watching. They just weighed that much. They said the price, and she did the math and thought, wow, my daddy's going to make a lot of money. So she's just watching this go on. But she knew how to do the math. She knew what the numbers meant. She knew all the stuff. So when her daddy came, he was never allowed to go to school. Nobody ever taught him. So here he comes to the thing, and they put his stuff on, and the scale goes up, and she was, oh my gosh, daddy, you're going to get $4. She was excited for her daddy to get that kind of money. And the man running the scale got very upset because he had to pay him $4 because that little girl knew all the stuff. Well, the reason she became famous was because the father said, I have never gotten this much money ever. How did you know how much money they were supposed to pay me? Well, Daddy, at school, they showed me that if you have this much, and it's this much each, I can multiply them, and this would be the total. He says, so you can tell what that scale says and what the money is, and you can tell us the amount that it's supposed to be every time. You know how to do that? She said, yes, sir. They made it a rule that every time one of the slaves went to the place to do their trade, the little girl went with them. They told her, they said, you go with them. You go with Mr. Thompson. You go with Mr. Smith. You go with Mr. Tony. And you let them know. You tell them how much money they're supposed to get. Right? These people were working. They were doing what they were supposed to do. And they brought the stuff. But because there were things that they did not know, they were being stolen from. And that's what it's like in this world. You need to understand that. When your parents are being ridiculous to you and you think, oh my gosh, why are they being like this? Because you don't know everything. And they know what's going to happen. We're all being robbed from right now because of things that are happening in this country that are wrong, that we just haven't figured it out yet. They know what they're doing. There's some people out there that are manipulating the heck out of everybody else. And that's what the devil's doing. Stealing, killing, and destroying. That's what the Bible says he comes for. And the way he can get everybody to go along with what he's doing is because of ignorance. Because you don't know that you are in charge. There was this boy. Okay, so there is this, there's this prep school where all the big kids go in England or whatever. And, okay, so there's a ruling king, right? And then he has a son that's going to be the next king, right? And then we have the little boy. This little boy is in this school over here. And the other kids are just being bullies. This kid's being bullied all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. And the little kid said, man, they just don't know. Someday my dad's going to be the king. Right? They need to stop it because someday my dad's going to be the king. And somebody else that heard him say that looked at him and said, I wonder how long it'll be before he realizes that someday he's going to be the king. Are you really going to do this to the future king? Go ahead. I'll just keep good notes. You know the guy off of the show Friends, Chandler? Y'all know Chandler? On Friends, y'all remember this show? Yes, shake your heads if yes, okay. Do you know why he won't go back to Canada where he grew up? Because he went to school with the prime minister and he bullied him his whole life. And now that guy grew up and he's the prime minister. Chandler don't want to go back to Canada. He wants to live in America. Because he made an enemy out of the person that's ruling the whole country. Right? I wouldn't want to go back either. You know, the enemy will stop messing with you as soon as you figure out who you are. The enemy will avoid you. The enemy will stay away from you. As soon as you realize who you are. Your Father is God. And you've been created in the image and the likeness of God. And he has given you all authority in heaven and on earth. You don't have authority over each other. You have authority over the spiritual atmosphere and the spiritual realm concerning your life. Now, the more you learn that and develop that, God will expand your territory. Then you will no longer just have the authority and the dominion over your life. You will also have it over your family. Because you understand what you're walking in. God will give you that authority. And the next thing you know, you're able to control all the things that pertain to your family. Well, then the next thing you know, God promotes you. God will tell you, you're the spiritual authority over this city. You're the spiritual authority over this state. You're the spiritual authority over this nation. God will promote you and tell you what your titles are. He will do that. He's done it for me. He literally tells me things that I'm in charge of. You are the spiritual authority of your world. You are God of your world. I gave you those scepters last year because you are king. What is currently going on in your life right now that you do not like? You have powerful words. You have the ability to make decisions. Now, wisdom tells us, let's make a decision that God wants us to make, right? Because if we don't, if we're making our own decisions, we're making, well, you're not your own. You're listening to somebody. Either you're listening to God or you're not. You're listening to the enemy. That's your two choices. And you want to make the decisions of what God says. Sometimes you're like, I don't want to do what God says because God's way is not the way I want to do. I want to have this. I want to do that. I want. That's fine. I'm telling you, you have the authority to do what you want to do. Go for it. But you just trust me when I say you will not want that soon, and you will want to come back to God's way of doing things, because you're going to understand as you grow up and become mature that everything that God tells you to do is for you. It is not for him. He doesn't need you to worship him. You need to worship him, because when you do, you clear out the heavenlies of all the enemies that are around. You bring down a manifestation of God's presence, peace, health, healing, wholeness. That's why you have to worship God. He didn't tell you to repent because he wants you groveling. No. When you did the stupid thing that you need to repent for, the devil took a noose and tied it to your freaking neck. And every time he wants to, he's going to jerk it. You did this. Don't you remember? Who do you think you are? God doesn't love you anymore. You're a disappointment. You don't even follow. God doesn't want that to happen to you. So he tells you, repent. Because no matter what dumb thing I've done, it doesn't matter. I can say, Father God, forgive me. And that thing has to loose me. It's everything God tells you to do is because he knows what's going on and we don't. Honor your mother and your father. Because he tells you, it'll be well with you. And you'll live long on the earth. You know who's dying at 14, 15, 16? Them kids in the street and the gangs who won't do what their mom's telling them to do. That won't come home. That won't quit hanging out with those bad kids. That won't quit doing drugs. That won't quit. They're the ones getting murdered in the streets every day. Every day, thousands of kids. Every day, thousands of kids are out there addicted to drugs. I've been out there, man. That's where I go. Why are they there? Because they won't listen to their parents. And some of them parents are still running around trying to find them. They're out there on the streets with posters trying to find their kid. While their kid who wouldn't listen to a thing they said is somewhere in a trap house. God's not telling you to do this stuff to ruin your fun. He's trying to save your life and trying to keep you strong and trying to keep you healthy and trying to keep you in a position to do what it is you want to do. For real. Have a good life. Blessings. How many kids are in prison right now? How many kids are addicted to drugs right now? You think their mama told them? Well, here, go do some of this drugs. well, here, go rob the store. Well, I guess some of the parents did tell them. Honestly, some parents did. But not most. The parents were begging them, please stop doing drugs. Please stop. Right? Do you know the king's kids can't act like everybody else? I don't even think they have a social media. I don't think the royal family can have social media. They have to dress a certain way. They have to act a certain way. They can only hang around certain people. They can only, it's, but they're ruling. They're ruling everything. Too much is given, much is required. If you don't want to rule a lot of things, that's fine. You don't have to. But you should get in charge of your own life. You should get in charge of the spiritual wickedness in your own home. You should get in charge of the spiritual wickedness in the restaurant that you go to and the enemy is there and crazy things are going on. You should get in charge of the store that you're shopping at when the spiritual atmosphere turns violent or turns crazy. You are the authority. Get in control. Don't lay somewhere afraid. Fear is a good sign the enemy's in charge. Loneliness, depression. That's a good sign the enemy is somewhere. You need to tell him in the name of Jesus, shut up and get out of here. God's got me. God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm loved. I'm more than a conqueror. You get these words that we make you learn, all these scriptures, and you get them in your mouth. You get them in your heart. You get them in your mouth. Get them in your heart. And you say them. And you get in control of your world. Every believer should be in control of the spiritual atmosphere in their world. If there is something crazy going on in that house, man, my father-in-law moved in, and here I was trying not to be an alcoholic, and he moved in, and he even had cirrhosis of the liver, but he was still drinking. And he came in my house. And this is my husband's daddy. I don't have the right to go tell him, you can't drink in my house. That's hateful. I knew he was an alcoholic, and he didn't know how to quit. Do you know what I did? I went in that kitchen floor every single day and I opened up the refrigerator and I laid hands on every single beer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind a spirit of alcohol from operating in this house. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for deliverance from alcohol. I render alcohol powerless, and then I'd go to the next one and I'd put my hands on it. In the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, the Son has set us free from alcohol, and I took authority over it. In secret, in the kitchen floor, and nobody knew I did it. But all of a sudden, 1 week, he didn't drink all the beers. And then the next week, he didn't drink any of them. And then he would go out of town, and I would pour them all out, and then he would come back, and he would buy some more, and then I'd start again. And then he lived with me sober for 8 years, sober. The last 8 years of his life was sober. Because I took authority over that spirit in my house. And you can too. There's no age requirement. It's just a knowledge of what God says. That's all that's required. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Okay? But my children are victorious when they know and they do, right? Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord God, for today. We thank you, Father God, that you chose us before the foundation of the world to be in your image, Lord, to be seated in Christ in heavenly places, to be redeemed, Father God, to be your children with authority in this earth, Lord God, to make this nation what it was originally designed for. I declare and decree right now in the name of Jesus that this nation will protect and defend Israel. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, that this nation will evangelize not only this nation, but the world. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, that righteous men are in authority over us, Lord God, that righteous leadership, Father God, manifest in this nation. I thank you for love and holiness and purity and unity and righteousness and all the benefits and the blessings of God manifest on this nation. I thank you for wholeness in our families. I thank you for wholeness in our churches. I thank you, Father God, right now that utterances are given, Lord God, and then the ministers who are in the pulpits, Father God, teach the truth, that they're walking in revelation knowledge. Father, in the name of Jesus, I loose the truth of the Word of God over this nation. I thank you, Father God, that your children walk in truth. I thank you, Father God, right now, every one of your children, Lord God, that are bound up in sin, Father God, and in lies and deceptions. Father, in the name of Jesus, I loose them right now in the name of Jesus, and I let them be free. I thank you, Father God, that you're sending your laborers. You're sending the people, Father God, to these that are lost and undone without Christ, Father God, and they are getting born again, that there is a revival, that people are being born again, and they're accepting everything that you have for them, Lord God. They are full of the Holy Ghost and power. And Father God, that truth prevails. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, that you, Father God, you deal with your children. Father God, you judge the children. You decide, Lord God, who gets promoted and who doesn't get promoted. You decide, Father God, everything that needs to be decided for your children. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare over this nation that we are one nation under God and that we are indivisible, we are strong, we are powerful, and we are rising up, Lord God, to accomplish everything that you called us to do on this earth, Lord God. And just like Jesus prayed, Father, I'm asking you, please don't take us out of this world, but keep us from evil. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm thankful that you joined us today. Went a little longer than usual, but I hope you come back and join us tomorrow. See you later. Bye-bye.